Thank you, Lord.
Lord, you did that for her. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Lord, I know you have something spectacular for her.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, thank you for bringing her out of anxiety and depression.
I want to hear his story.
Hello, my name is Oliver Johnson. Today I have decided to be baptized. One of the reasons I have decided to get baptized today is I want to be closer. One of the reasons I have planned to become closer to God is to pray about the problems I am having with my family or myself. Maybe one day hear him tell me how I should solve these problems. And one thing I'm looking forward to is maybe one day life will be easier knowing that I am walking with God, so I can tell him all my struggles. My dad tells me generational curses. I am hoping that knowing God will help stop any of those.
Lord, I just pray that you would, Lord, I do pray that you break every generation.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. So now we have a song that Ashley wanted us to play for you guys.
Shield. much. Yeah. I really appreciate all everybody who works in our sound tech. If you think you can do it better. Oh, you can? Do we have children's class? Yes, we do. So all the children from four-year-old through fourth grade, you can go upstairs now. No, thank you, Laura. Appreciate that. So, do you remember our memory verse, our challenge verse? Philippians 4:4. It's a short one. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let's say that again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So that was pretty easy, wasn't it? Philippians 4:4. So this week's is fairly easy too. Next week's is going to be kind of tough. Okay? So if you want to, so this next week is 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? So that's this next week. So remember that. Now next week, It's going to be more difficult, so you're going to have to get ready, okay? Philippians 4:8, we're not going to go there, but that's what it is if you want to get a head start on it. So we've been talking about joy. We've been talking about joy, and you and I have both enjoyed a lot of joy this morning. Watching the baptism and hearing the testimonies. It's been awesome to be able to participate in that. So we started, as I said, a series last week on joy. I don't think anyone intentionally wants to be miserable. But in order to have joy, that has to be an intentional thing. There was a fellow, he and his wife were having some difficulties. And the problem was that he would go to the bar every night and come home drunk and cause just a lot of chaos in the house. She tried everything she could think of to fix the problem. So she decided, what I'm going to do is I'm going to dress up like the devil. I'm going to dress up like Satan, and when he comes home early tomorrow morning, I'm going to jump out, and I'm going to scare the living devil out of him. So, the next morning, he comes home. She's dressed up in a Satan outfit. She jumps out with her most blood-curdling scream, hollers at him. And he says, "You don't scare me. I'm married to your sister." Yeah, I know. A groan. I thought I'd give you a little joy this morning as we start. So, last week I asked you to respond to the question, what brings you joy? Many of you wrote down your responses, and I'm going to read some of them to you. Someone wrote down, children bring me joy. Others, spending time with kids and grandkids, hearing good news about grandchildren's lives, family. One person wrote, my golden retriever, God's creation, nature. Some of these responses, you can tell who wrote them. Hiking old railroad grades. Someone said, having no pain in my body. Someone else said, playing my oboe. joyful activities. That fly fishing. Yeah, well. And taking my wife on a trip with a teardrop. So, others said, knowing I have salvation, being in the Word, and finding truths in God's Word that can apply to my life, Jesus, making others laugh and smile, sharing about God with others, to see God's answers to prayer, I take joy in the fact the Lord opened my eyes to His plan. Isn't that neat? So I wanted to share those with you because sometimes we think a lot about negative things, and the Lord has given us a lot of blessings. And those are actually the things we need to begin thinking on and continue to think on. So, before we get into today's message, last week we looked at Habakkuk's five-step plan for moving from despair to joy. Hopefully that was helpful to you. So do you remember what the five-step plan is? I went through the fifth one like, bing, like that, so you may not remember it. So do you remember what the first one is? Look up. Second one? Fess up. Third one? Listen up. Fourth one? Lift up the name of Jesus. The fifth one?
Get up.
No, that's good. No, I didn't get that one in there. We may add that one next time. The fifth one is, write it down. The fifth one is, write it down. Actually, that should have been number four because it falls in Habakkuk's letter in chapter 2. And so the Lord tells him, write down everything I tell you. Write down everything I tell you. And it's important that we write those things down because when we have difficult days, and we all have difficult days, all of us have dark days, it's good to go back and remember what the Lord told you. So, encourage you, when the Lord reveals something to you, write it down. Matter of fact, not only will it lift you up, it'll probably lift someone else up as well. So, today we're going to talk about three steps from sin's misery to salvation's joy. Three steps from sin's misery to salvation's joy. We're going to look at Psalm 51 a little later. We're going to be looking at a Bible character who had experienced the joy of the Lord, but because of some decisions he made, he lost the joy of the Lord. Have you ever lost the joy of the Lord? Can you remember what took that joy? Was it something the Lord did? Yeah. Something I did. So we're going to look at a guy in the Old Testament. You probably know him. His name is King David, who had experienced the joy of the Lord, but he lost it. As a matter of fact, in Psalm chapter 51, he talks about this. And in just verse 8, "Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice." Then verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation and make me willing to obey you." I want you to notice he did not lose his salvation. He said, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." So you need to kind of make sure you understand that. David did not lose his salvation. However, he lost the joy that comes with salvation. So, what did he do? If you want to, you can turn. I'm not going to. We don't have time to look at all the scripture. But in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, we find that David had a responsibility to go out to war. And scripture says that in the spring of the year, when all the kings go out to war, David decided to stay home. So the first thing we find is that David failed in some of his responsibilities. But David decided to stay home, and while he was home, he was out on his balcony one day, and he was looking out over the city of Jerusalem. And in the city of Jerusalem, there are pools where people come to bathe, and he noticed a young lady, beautiful young lady, was bathing in one of the pools. He didn't know who it was, so he said to one of his servants, "Why don't you bring that lady up here?" So he brought that lady up there, and they had sexual relations, and in so doing, she became pregnant. Well, she was married. And she was married to a soldier who was out fighting David's battles. And so David wanted to cover up his sin. Have you ever tried to cover up your sin? I know I have. It usually doesn't work very well. So David tried to cover up his sin, and he said to bring Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, home. Because he had an idea. He thought if Uriah came from the camp back to Jerusalem, that Uriah would go back and stay with his wife, and then when the baby was born, everyone would think it was Uriah's baby, and everything would be good. The problem was, when Uriah came back home, he chose not to go back to his house. But he actually went out of the home of David, the palace of David, and slept on the steps of David's palace. David said, "Man, this isn't going to work. Uriah's loyal. So I've got to get him drunk. And maybe after I get him drunk, he'll go back, spend some time with his wife." So that day they had a big party. And he got Uriah drunk. And said, "You know, you need to go home now." And so Uriah went out of the palace. But he didn't go home. He slept on the palace steps again, even inebriated. I think if it were me, with a beautiful wife at home, and me been sleeping in the field with a bunch of guys, I'd say, "Man, I'm going to go home." But not Uriah, because he was loyal, because he was faithful. And he was thinking about those guys in the field. So David comes up with another plan. So Joab is the captain of the host. He's captain of the army of Israel. And so David writes a letter. He sends word to Joab. He says, "Joab, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take Uriah." Uriah is not one of the mighty men. He's a good soldier. He's not one of the mighty men. But what I would like for you to do is I want you to take Uriah and I'll put him at the forefront of the battle. And if he's killed, he's killed. And that would be a sad day. But, you know, he needs to get to the forefront of the battle. So Joab, next war comes along, he sends Joab to the forefront of the battle. And actually they're attacking the wall. They start shooting spears and Uriah is killed by the enemy as they're shooting spears, and he dies in the field. Joab sends back word that many soldiers have died, and Uriah has died as well. And David puts on this face like, "Oh man, I'm really so sorry about that. That just breaks my heart." Well, as soon as the mourning days are over for Bathsheba, he marries her. Everything is covered. Everything is under the lid. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody has seen. Nobody even thinks of any impropriety in David's life. The problem is, there is someone who knows. And the problem is that God Almighty knows. How does it make you feel when you know you've done something wrong and you're trying to keep it from everybody else? Pretty, I know for me, and it just makes me miserable. Miserable. That's what was happening to David. It was making him miserable and more miserable and more miserable. I've got it hidden. Nobody knows. Nobody can see. I know Bathsheba's pregnant and she's going to have a baby, but nobody knows. And then Bathsheba has a baby, and that there's a prophet whose name is Nathan. And God tells Nathan, I need you to go and I need you to talk to David about the sin that he's committed. Now, how did Nathan know about the sin that David had committed? Nobody knew. God told him. Can you imagine? I don't know. I'm thinking if I were Nathan, that might not be the best news I would like to deliver to someone. Especially to the king who has the ability to have my head. But it doesn't appear that Nathan had any qualms whatsoever. And so he goes in and he tells David this story about this man who has hundreds of sheep. And a friend comes in one evening and needs to eat. And so the fellow, rather than killing one of his sheep, he goes over to this poor man's house who has only one sheep. And the sheep is like a child to this man. It's his pet. You guys, some of you have pets like that. Very dear to you. And he tells a story about this man who had hundreds of sheep, goes in, takes the poor man's sheep, kills it, and gives it to his visitor. This made David hot. Really got him upset. He said, you find that guy and you make him pay four times. Give four sheep for the one sheep. Nathan looks him in the eye and says, David, you're the man. You're the man. Have you ever had the Lord convict you? It doesn't feel very good either, does it? You're the man. You're the man. You're the woman. You're the boy. You're the girl. And it's like, do you like that feeling of conviction? I don't either. So after David, now David could have done a lot of things with that. Done a lot of things with that information that Nathan had shared with him. But what he chose to do was repent. Psalm 51 is his prayer of repentance. So I want us to look at Psalm 51, and then I want us to talk about the steps that David used to move from misery to joy. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 15. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me, and now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. Amen. You may be seated. So the first thing I want us to look at are the consequences of sin. What are the consequences? One thing he mentions is that the joy of the Lord was removed from him. The joy that he had once experienced in the Lord, the joy of his salvation, was forfeited. The problem is when the joy is forfeited, other feelings, other emotions began taking its place. And he experienced these. He confesses rebellion. He feels condemnation. He feels judgment. He feels dirty. He's stained by sin's guilt. So all of these things, and you can identify with that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, every time we do something, and I hope it's okay to pick on Oliver. He's upstairs. I will. So it's okay to pick on. So he was in my office a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about his relationship with Christ because he wanted to go forward in his relationship, but there were some misunderstandings or not some areas in his life that he didn't understand. And so one of the questions I asked him, I said, "Do you know what sin is?" He said, "Yes." I said, "You kind of have to start there with kids." He said, "Yes." I said, "Tell me what sin is." He said, "Well, it's when you do something that God doesn't like. It's against his laws." I said, "Have you ever sinned?" He said, "Yes." I said, "How did that make you feel?" He said, it made me feel bad inside. It really made me feel bad. And so I told him, I said, what God is showing you is that when you sin, it hurts his heart. Makes him sad. And so what you were feeling was God's sadness. And he could understand that. And he did not want to make God sad anymore. So I shared with him how he could be delivered from the sin that made God sad. And I'm going to share that with you a little later in the message. But you know how it is. You know how it is when you do things wrong, and all of us have done wrong. We can deny it, we can justify it, but deep down we know that we've done wrong. Now, David could have denied it, he could have justified it, but the truth was, he knew deep down he had done wrong, though nobody else knew except God and Nathan. Nobody knows. The second thing is, not only do we lose the joy, but there's a separation between us and God. We are walking in his presence. We choose to sin. Now, some people would say that David fell into sin. Or I fell into sin. See, to me, falling is more of an accident than it is a choice. Oh, I fell into sin. Oh, man, that was my bad. No, man, just fell in. No, you didn't fall. That was an accident. You chose to go that direction. So David didn't fall into sin. He made those choices. So, and when he made those choices, his fellowship with the Lord was broken. There was a separation. Have you ever been there? Satan entices you, and you fall into his trap. Oh, look how great it would be if you would. You can really have a great time if. Oh, just do this. It'll take the edge off for a minute. You deserve to indulge yourself. It's really not all that bad. It won't hurt anybody. No one will know. You can identify because I can. And then, after you have done the deed, he starts hammering on you. Oh, look what you did. God will never forgive you. How could you be so stupid? You say you're a child of God. And yet, look what you did. And the enemy's, he'll beat on us one way or he'll beat on us another. Yep. Right? In verse 3 of this passage, David said, I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. It haunts me day and night. Every night I try to go to sleep, man, these sins are in my head. I can't get rid of them. Every morning I wake up, these sins are in my head. I'll try to get busy. I'll stay busy. I'll do king things so I can't get feeling all this garbage going on in my life. Who can I help? Who can I deceive? Who can I talk to? I need to counsel somebody. Because it's yucky feeling the garbage. So, David wanted his joy back. David knew he was in misery, but he chose not to stay there. Now let me ask you a question. So he committed adultery. He lied. He committed murder. Do you think God could forgive him? Got a fella drunk. I mean, he did a lot of things to try to hide his sin. And all it did was brought more sin. David figured that, you know what? I am in misery. And I'm tired of being miserable. So I'm going to take some steps that will bring me out of misery back into the joy of the Lord. So step number one, confession and repentance. Confession and repentance. So here's what we need to confess. We need to tell God what we did that caused the separation. Tell God what we did. Cause the separation. And then, after we've done that, we need to tell him how we feel about it. You need to be specific. You know, sometimes we like to go before the Lord and we don't even like to admit our faults to him. Do you think he knows? Oh yeah, he knows. God, I just want you to forgive me all my sins and don't look too close. You know what we have to do? We have to be truthful with ourselves as well as truthful to the Lord. And we need to tell him not only what we've done, but how we feel about it. Be honest with him. Be honest with yourself. So that's what David did. He said, Lord, I feel guilty. I feel condemned. I feel judged. I feel like I feel dirty. I feel like there's a stain upon my life. That's the way I feel. And that's the way we need to come before the Lord. As a matter of fact, sometimes you may not even know how to pray. This Psalm 51 is a good prayer to make your own. Because David knew how to pray. He knew how to get the yuck out. Okay? So, tell the Father what you've done that caused the separation. Tell the Father how you feel, the guilt, shame, broken, dirty, condemned. And then the second step, state what you want. That's what David did. He stated what he wanted. What did he want? I want forgiveness. Right? I want forgiveness. Lord, I want forgiveness. So, David didn't know this passage of Scripture in 1 John 1:9 because it hadn't been written yet. But you can know. He knew the principle. He didn't know the Scripture. 1 John 1:9 is the passage of Scripture I've asked you to memorize for next week. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He did not say, I will cleanse you from some unrighteousness. He didn't say, I will forgive you for most of your unrighteousness. Whoo! But I will forgive you for every single thing you have ever done. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somehow David knew that. David knew that in his heart, that if he went before the Lord in honesty, in truth, talking to Him about what he did and how he felt, that God would forgive him. Wow. Forgive him for murdering a guy? Forgive him for taking another man's wife? Forgive him for drunkenness and debauchery? What kind of God is that? A wonderful, loving God. Almighty God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. And we ought not take His forgiveness lightly, and David didn't. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. Pastor, you don't know my life. I could care less. Scripture says when we receive Christ, when we ask the Lord to forgive us, that He wipes our sins away. It's separated from us as far as the east is from the west. He remembers it no more. And every time we bring it up, it's like, huh, I don't remember you doing that. Because He remembers it no more. He doesn't remind Himself of it constantly. It's not like He has a short memory. He just chooses not to remind Himself of it anymore. Number two. State what you want. Be specific. To be forgiven. The second one is, David said, I want my relationship restored. We've been separated. I want my relationship restored. The third thing he says, I want my joy back. Lord, return to me the joy of my salvation. Was there a time in your Christian life when you had more joy than you have now? What if you could get your joy back? Relationship was restored. Lord, return my joy. And the third step, before I go any further, is there any questions about those two steps? Very simple steps. Tell God what you've done. Tell God what you want. The third step is, when the Lord has removed your sins, when He's forgiven you, when you've got your joy back, tell somebody. Tell somebody. David said, restore the joy of my salvation. And when you do, I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Don't keep it to yourself. Share that with someone. Share what God has done for you with someone. Let them have some joy too. And it will increase your joy when you do what David did. He said, Lord, when you restore my joy, I'm going to tell somebody. I'm going to tell somebody. I'm even going to tell rebels because they need it too. I'm not going to just tell the church crowd. I'm going to tell the rebels because they need what I have. I'm going to ask you this morning. You don't have to hold your hand up, but you need to acknowledge in your heart. Where are you? If misery was here, and joy was here, where are you? Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? You want to be here. If you're here and want to be here, there's three simple steps. Well, sometimes it's not that simple. Because you got to get real. Sometimes it's hard to get real. Three simple steps. Talk to God about what you've done. Confess. Repent. Tell Him what you want. And once you've received it, tell somebody else. I know that some of you are in misery today. Or the Lord would not have given me this message to preach. So when are you going to start the process? If you're here and you want to be here, then you can't continue to do this while at the same time determining to be over there. We have to confess. We have to repent. We have to receive the Lord's forgiveness. His joy, experience the relationship. Did you know that Jesus is the only one who can remove the stains? He's the only one, bar none, who can take our sins from us and make us white as snow. That's what David prayed, Lord, make me white as snow. Cleanse me with hyssop. Wash me. Take away the stain. Lord, that's what I want from you. And if that's your prayer, God will do for you what He did for David. If that's what you want. But you have to go through Jesus Christ to get there. The Scripture says there's no other way, given among, no other name given among men whereby men must be saved except through Jesus Christ. No other name. No other name. But I don't like the name of Jesus. Well, I don't know what to tell you, except you'll never have joy. You'll never have freedom. You'll never have life. Jesus said, I came to give life and give it more abundantly. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have the abundant life. And if you're wallowing over here, not willing to take the steps to get over there, you're going to not experience the abundant life God has for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask you a question. You can raise your hand and just admit to me, Pastor Brad, I've been miserable too long, and I want the joy of the Lord. Would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Someone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Father, I come before you today. And I lift up the congregation to you. I lift up these wonderful people to you. Lord, I know what I'm talking about because I've been there. Lord, I don't ever want to go back there again. I enjoy, I love experiencing the joy of the Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that today, that those who are here, who recognize and being are willing to admit they're in misery, Lord, you'd help them, move them from where they are to where they want to be. Lord, I realize that Jesus is the only one who can give that joy. And so, Lord, I pray right now that you would just move upon our hearts. Bring us to right relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. As we sing, or as you stand and sing, I'm going to be here at the front. If you want help getting to the next step, I'm going to pray for you. I'll be here to help you. And said, you know, when I'm baptized, I'd like to... Well, she said she'd like to baptize the children. And I told her that we dedicate children to the Lord. Baptism comes after a person is old enough to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and then is able to follow through with that act of obedience. And she said, I want to dedicate my children. And so she is taken this step to dedicate her children to the Lord. Hannah, in the Old Testament, said, Lord, if you'll give me a child, I'll dedicate this child to you. And his name was Samuel. Today, Ashley wants to dedicate Tamsin. And Effie, I'll just call her Effie. I think her name's Ephelia, but I'll just call her Effie. So the family is a divine institution ordained from God from the beginning of creation. And Ashley wants to raise her children in the ways of the Lord. In this act of dedication, Ashley realizes there are some responsibilities that she has in order to get her children to a place of receiving Christ. And so, because we dedicate children rather than baptize them, then we're going to ask Ashley, and Tamsin and Effie have been brought to us today, and so I want to ask you, Ashley, will you accept God's responsibility to you for raising Tamsin and Effie in the Christ-centered home? Okay. Will you teach and discipline them in your home so that you are not solely dependent on the church or school system to impart the beliefs that we hold dear? Will you not assume that your careers and peer approval are the highest goals in life, but rather will you advance the cause of Christ? Will you not make your life's choices based on secular trends or material gain, but rather will you make your life's choices based on what will benefit and strengthen the faith of your family? Ashley, as their earthly mother, will you give Tamsin and Effie the special attachment they crave for you and the special nurturing touch that you are uniquely gifted by God to give? So, congregation, will you, as the community of faith, support Ashley, Tamsin, and Effie by the Christian love and example you set by your life?
Yes.
Good. All right. So, let's pray for Ashley, for Effie, and Tamsin. Would you bring them up here, please? You guys just kind of hold your hands out to them, okay? Let me see if she will let me hold them.
Yay!
Right, kind of scared.
We too, okay.
So this is Tamsin.
Yes.
This is Effie.
Yep.
Let's pray for them. Lord, I come before you, and Lord, just want to thank you for Ashley and her desire to raise these children in a way that's going to be pleasing to you. Lord, I know from Ashley's testimony there's a lot she needs to learn herself, but she's willing to do so. And Lord, she wants to be a godly parent to these children. She wants to encourage them in your ways. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give her insight and wisdom and understanding. I pray, Father, that she would hear your voice and be able to follow you. And Lord, I thank you for her. Lord, I thank you for the dedication that she has toward you and these children. And Lord, I pray for Tamsin and I pray for Effie. And God, I pray that they would just be right now, Lord, as she dedicates them to you, Lord, your purpose and plan and would be fulfilled in their lives. And Lord, you have an assignment that you have for them. And so, Lord, we just pray that from even small children, they would begin to fulfill the assignment you have. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. You're dismissed.